You're listening to the Law of Attraction Radio Network.
Welcome to an incredible journey with internationally renowned lawyer of attraction, Paula Kidd Casey. Applying the skills gained over 40 years of practicing law, Paula uses facts, logic, and science to prove the validity of the law of attraction. Join Paula each week as she explores unique concepts, allowing you to rediscover the wisdom of the ancient masters, all while weaving in the science that proves magic really does happen. If you yearn for a life change or want to rediscover your passion, then share the path with Paula and begin to love your journey every step of the way.
Hello, this is Paula Kidd Casey, and welcome to my show, The Law of Attraction. Welcome to Law of Attraction Radio Network. I'm so glad that you're here. I'm also glad that I'm here. I'm glad that I was offered this platform. Just talking to Jules Johnson today about that. It was about 18 months ago that she offered me this platform. And I had no idea the kind of ride I would have and the people I'd meet. And I'm just pleased that I was asked to do this. And I'm also honored that I've been able to share this journey with you, because I get wonderful feedback from you. And I love the fact that I get to have guests on the show that give you some amazing concepts and that I get to share some ideas that I have. So I want to thank you for being here. And I want to thank you for making sure that you're listening to the Law of Attraction Radio Network. My guest today is a very dear friend. She's actually from Wichita, Kansas, which is where I am. She is here in the studio with me. And when I say studio, I mean my office, little office at my house, which I've never interviewed someone in person, but it is going to be fun and there's energy. She's someone I've known for 23 years. I was her attorney, and then I became a very close friend, and she has really helped me on my journey with the Law of Attraction Radio Network. She actually introduced me to the phrase of "I'm on my magic carpet ride," and she would always have a way to get a higher energy and to literally make people around her feel better and to do something positive in any situation. There's a lot of amazing things that has happened to her in her life. She didn't really have a good childhood, but she has literally put herself through college, started her own real estate business, and is one of the top realtors in this market and has an excellent reputation. I've always been very pleased to have known her. So she has always used the law of attraction even before she even knew what that meant, even before we ever were talking about it in public. And she has used the concepts and the frequency and the attitudes to become an extremely professional woman. So we will be right back with Sonia Seidel. And we are back with Sonia Seidel. Sonia, thank you so much for being here.
Sure. I'm glad to be here.
Thank you. I gave you a little bit of an introduction, but I kind of want to explain to everybody how we know each other. We're actually sitting together in Wichita, which I've never done before on an interview because normally I have people on the computer. So we're sitting together having a cup of coffee. So everybody needs to go get a cup of coffee so you can have a cup of coffee with us. But I want to kind of tell everybody how Sonia and I met. I was her divorce attorney, 23 years ago?
Uh-huh. 23 years.
And I don't remember every single one of my clients, but she is one that I really remembered because I will tell you, she was the most independent, strong young woman that I'd ever met. Mostly when people go through divorce, they're victims, they're sad, they want somebody else to be responsible for them, they want a lot of money. And she basically said, no, here's what I want to do. I want shared custody. I don't want any money. And she pulled herself up from her bootstraps. So I remembered her for 2 decades before you and I met again. And she knows that I totally respected how she did that. And she became one of the most premier realtors in town. And I'm just proud to have her as a friend. So, Sonia, let me ask you some basic information if I can.
Sure.
Okay. Tell us a little bit about your background, because I know you weren't born with a silver spoon in your mouth, that you kind of came from a background where you really literally had to pull yourself up with your bootstraps.
Sure. I was conceived probably in the backseat of a car on a hot August night. I was born to two teenagers, and they were both 17 when they got pregnant with me, and they were 18 whenever they had me. And it was a very probably disturbing childhood for the first 5 years of my life. Luckily, I had my awesome sister that was born a year after me, and we're very, very close. And then I had wonderful, wonderful family, grandparents especially. And I remember we had a house that was out in the country. And I remember when we very first had that house, there was like an outhouse. And I think it had well water that you had to pump the water. And, you know, I'm 57. It's not like I'm 97 or anything like that, you know. But we were very, very poor. But the marriage between my parents did not last. And so I think I was about 5 when they divorced. And it was a very violent childhood growing up with, I'm the kind of person, I don't like drama, I don't like screaming, I don't like any of that kind of stuff. But so that's kind of how I started out with my life. But I did have a lot of love from my family members and everything. And I think that kind of gave me a spirit of wanting to be a young person that felt like I had to take care of myself, basically, I had to trust myself.
Which you did.
I did.
Pretty much on your own after the time you got out of high school.
Yeah, after high school, I've always loved to work. And I say work in a really, really good way, because I don't know any other way to, I haven't found the right word for work yet. But I've always enjoyed serving and enjoyed helping people.
And being productive.
And
being a very productive person.
Like if I spend a whole day and doing nothing and sitting on the couch and like not doing anything, by the end of the day, I'm just like a nervous wreck, because I like to do things. Mm-hmm. I like to take action, and I've always enjoyed making money. I remember whenever I was about 12 years old, in addition to babysitting, there was a cute little gift shop pet store down the street. And if I went over there, they would pay me 50 cents to take all the little knickknacks off the shelf, dust, and put them back. I've just always loved to work. I've always loved it.
And there was a time, or maybe you brought this attitude with you, but you have always kind of understood about the law of attraction and your attitude, even before, because I think I pretty much knew you in 1995, 96. And so that was even before it was even mainstream when we're talking about law of attraction or mindfulness or a good attitude. You've always had an underlying philosophy about that, don't you think?
I think I've always been the kind of person that if you tell me a sad, 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 sad story, I'll pull the sunshine out of it.
Yes.
You know, like I remember the Tsunami. How do you pronounce that? Tsunami? Tsunami?
Oh,
whenever the tsunamis hit one time, this one story, I remember I can't even remember the exact situation, but I pulled something good out of that situation. Like, I mean, look at 9/11, but you can go on and on with all the goodness that came out of such a tragedy. But on a day-to-day basis, I wake up in the morning, I have a morning routine, and I got to get my game on every single morning. It's like, I remember one time someone said something about motivation. You know, how come I can't just be motivated all the time? And they said, well, it's like bathing. You have to shower every day. It's like I get up in the morning and I get my motivation on. I get up and I get my game plan going for that day and how I'm going to win that day. And I feel like the only way that I can really do that is by having a really, really positive attitude. But I also think I was born with it.
I think you must have been born with it.
Like Lady Gaga says, I mean, I was just born that way, you know? But I do think that the human mind can be changed, that if you weren't born with it, that you can acquire it. And it's all in your perception of how you look at things. And I truly believe that what you put out there is that same thing that you're going to get back.
Absolutely. It's a frequency. It's a vibration we put out, and that's what we're going to get back. And I think this probably is attested by how you've actually lived your life, is because you really had a really difficult childhood. And there's people that do that, and then they get in a funk, and they think that they cannot do anything to turn their life around, but you really did. And as long as I've known you, I mean, there is nothing that you can't accomplish if you put your mind to it. And I remember when we first, I want to give everybody just a kind of a background. So we lived in the same neighborhood, probably lived there 3 or 4 years, literally lived 3 or 4 blocks from each other, never ran into her. Uh-huh. This was right after I had kind of started trying to pay more attention to the now and be more present. And I took walks for years. And literally when I decided I was going to look up from my walk and pay attention to the beautiful neighborhood, Sonia and I ran into each other, and we'd live literally like 4 blocks from each other, started talking. She is the one that turned me on to Mike Dooley. I mean, you're the one that really kind of got me on that path with Mike Dooley and got me to sign up for Notes from the Universe, which within a month after that, he put out a call to everybody to become a trainer, and I became a trainer. So Sonia is the one that really kind of got me down that. But I remember talking to her and how optimistic she was. And I do want to talk about your health situation just a minute, but I remember when we're talking, she talks about, I'm on this magic carpet ride, and she has this attitude that everything just kind of flows. And you do, and there have been times, I'm telling you, it's pissed me off, because you get back on that magic carpet ride, even if you kind of get knocked off, even if stuff happens that you don't like. I've just always respected you that you've used that terminology. So how long do you think you've used that terminology?
Okay, honestly, it's exactly what you said about the right frequency.
Uh-huh.
And that's part of just, you got to get your mindset. You got to get your mindset right. And when your mindset is right and you're thinking good thoughts and you're focusing on what you do want to happen, not what has happened in the past or what you, a lot of people make the mistake of focusing on what they don't want to happen. Oh, mm-hmm. I'm so afraid. I'm so worried. Right. I'm so this. But if you get your mind on that right frequency, you can get on that magic carpet ride.
And you do.
And it just seems like, okay, you'll be thinking about someone and, oh, I need to talk to this person about something. Then you accidentally run into them at the dry cleaners, you know. You get in this frequency where the universe draws everything to you that you need.
Oh, that gives me goosebumps.
Yeah.
So a couple of things is, you're not always on the frequency. You have to mindfully decide you're going to be on that frequency. And you've always been so good at it. And so a couple of things. Tell us about your morning routine, because you said you have to get your game on. Mm-hmm. And then tell us what you do when you think, I'm not on that magic carpet ride like I want to do. What do you do to get back on there? So tell us the two things, because I know you have a great morning routine. There'll be times I call her or text her, and I know she's doing something else like meditating. So tell us what's your normal.
Well, I don't know that I actually really meditate, to tell you the truth, because I've tried that several times and I fall asleep, because I have trained my brain to be able to nap. So if I'm really, really, really tired, being a realtor, sometimes you change clothes 3 times a day because you're looking at a suburban property. You're doing this, you're doing that. So I've trained myself, my body to, like, if I need to shut it down, I can shut it down for exactly 20 minutes and have the best nap imaginable and then bring it right back. Or I can look at my watch and go, okay, I'm going to sleep for 20 minutes, wake up and go again. But back to my morning routine. The morning routine, I don't really like to see anyone. Mm-hmm. And I don't like to talk to anyone. And I as a general thing, and this is one area where we're kind of different, I do not watch the news. Now, I'll catch a little NPR or, of course, you can't help but being online on the internet, you're going to catch some news one way or another. But when I get up in the morning, I like peace. I like quiet. And then I like my coffee, and I like to have blank paper and a pen. I always have to have a pen in my hand if I'm reading a book, or, you know, I love to write do thought downloads, but I like to keep it really, really quiet, no sound. And I focus on what I want to happen that day. I visually walk myself through my appointments and what I want the outcome to be. And I also, whenever I'm heavy duty visualizing this, I'm thinking, now what could be the reaction to this situation or that situation? And I try to think about what I would like for their reaction to be. But if I know that their reaction may be something negative, to be prepared of what can I say or do to comfort them, you know? So it's all about being really mindful and visualizing. what I do want to see happen.
And you know, one of the things you said is you shouldn't concentrate or pay attention to what you don't want to have happen, but you also don't pay attention to what is actually reality right now, because reality, number one, is subjective. And number two, if you pay attention to what's going on right now, you're just going to get more of what's going on right now. What you do is you project yourself into the future. Mm-hmm. You visualize, you become your future. In the mornings when you're sitting there and you're visualizing and you're thinking your thing through, which I think it's brilliant, you actually become what is going to happen to you that day.
You create it.
In your brain, and then it comes to you. It's all science. It's quantum physics. And you're brilliant. You're one of the top real estate salespeople in town, if not really close to the top. And she has her own group. Is that what they call it?
Team.
A group team. She has her own team. Just extremely successful, has so many referrals. So how do you think you got from the very sad, no, you were not sad at all, the very spunky, feisty client that I had that lived in a little bitty two-bedroom house in this bad part of town after the divorce and just starting real estate to this? What do you think your success secret is for people as far as this journey that you've been on?
Well, I'll tell you, I think the biggest mistake, the biggest thing that people, they don't focus on in their lives is, what do you want?
Mm-hmm.
I think if I lined up 100 people and I said, what do you want? You know, a new motorcycle. No, I don't care about stuff like that. Like, what do you want to create with your life?
Mm-hmm.
What is not there now that you want to create with your life?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's how buildings are created.
Right.
That's how bridges are created. That's how anything, you name anything, that's how airplanes were created.
It starts in your imagination.
It starts in your brain.
Mm-hmm.
And those thoughts become things.
Mm.
They become things with the thoughts that you have. And then you got to get your game on and get a game plan going. And then the actions that you take.
I love it.
And you create that. But I would say the majority of people, like if I say, tell me something really awesome that's going on in your life right now that you're working on creating, most people would just look at me and go, what are you talking about? You know, I just want to work this job for X amount of years and I want to retire.
Right.
And never have to think about it. Or, well, I do have a vacation coming up. Well, a vacation is something that you do create. But, you know, what do you want your life to look like in a year, in five
right.
years, in 10 years? What do you want your life to look like? And then you just focus on that.
And a lot of people don't have that idea. Number one, they don't think they have the power. Number two, I don't know if they don't have the imagination, but maybe they don't have never spent that much time on it, you know, but you also have to have a belief that it's going to happen. That's one thing that I've seen with you is you have never questioned your dreams. You've never ever questioned that you were not capable of obtaining those dreams. Don't you think that's true?
Well, why would I want to question my dreams?
There you go.
They're my dreams. I feel like, you know,
or your ability to get them.
Okay. A lot of what we do with the law of attraction, we use the word universe. To me, the word universe is also the word God.
Sure.
And whatever you want that word to be, it doesn't even matter to me. But I feel like God plants dreams into our hearts.
Mm.
And then like, cause like, I don't want to be an NBA basketball player. That dream was not
right.
planted in my heart, but the dreams that are planted in my heart, I think in order for us to become the people that God really, really wants us to be,
right.
we have to fan that flame. We have to ask, believe, receive.
I love
it. We have to ask. But a lot of people, they don't even know what to ask.
Right. And I think
you know?
A lot of that is they don't allow themselves to think about it. But I also think that's a perfect concept that there's nothing planted within us that we truly desire that we're not going to be able to have. You know?
Yeah.
I don't want to be an astronaut. I did want to be a ballerina when I was small, which if you know me, that would not have been probably, but you know, I think that there's nothing that you truly desire that you can't have. It wouldn't be placed in you if you weren't capable of actually obtaining it. And I don't even think people get to that point. They've never been, you know, and I'm not sure where you're, I know you had a grandmother that was extremely kind and loving, and you had family that loved you, but you still had to have a bigger picture of everything that was going on, because you really didn't have a lot of, you know, our conditioning and paradigms are set up at by the time we're six, mm-hmm. you know, and
but for you some, know what? I chose those parents.
There you go. Oh my God. I'm so big on that. And because we have something to learn.
When I was a soul in heaven, those were the parents I chose.
And,
because
that, and
of
why
the
do you
things think? That I wanted to learn.
There you go.
And I my love mom that. Was very instrumental that I think I would say my mom is a dreamer. She's not a doer. I got the gene of the dreamer and the doer.
Oh.
So, you know, when you dream, you can't just sit on your couch and go, well, I'm dreaming that I have this big boat or whatever. Right. No, you got to get your butt off the couch and you've got to do things with your body, with your hands, with your feet. You've got to do things that are telling your subconscious that I have this dream and I also believe
yes.
in this dream and I'm going to make this dream happen. And I think that's how you tell the cells in your body, this is the direction that we are going. And then, and it believes it. It's your subconscious into your conscious mind. It believes it.
And you're telling the universe, you trust it. I'm going to take this step because universe, I trust you're going to get me to the next.
And
step.
My mom is a huge, huge, huge dreamer. She was always, and she still is always dreaming up these inventions and different things.
Uh-huh.
But I don't think she ever like took action on any mm-hmm. of those things. But I remember one time I was probably in my 20s and she was telling me that she had gone to an event that Carol Jones was a speaker, and Carol Jones was a real estate agent in the area that really dominated the market. And she said, Carol said she always carried this folder with her, and inside the folder had pictures of things that she wanted in her life. And it was symbolic of everything that she wanted. And she also took action, but she attracted all those things to her life. It was very, very successful. So in one form or another, I've always done that. Like I have a
right.
dream book at home. It's full of like those envelope, those sleeve things that you put pictures into
uh-huh, uh-huh.
and this big, big notebook. And it's stuffed. It's packed full of dreams. And then I take out things after I accomplish them. I put new dreams in there. Or if I decide, oh, that's not really what I want. Like maybe it's a
right.
piece of furniture or something. Then I get rid of that and I put something else in there. And so I'm just able to create by visualizing, and I mean like actually looking at pictures of things and visualizing things or vision boards of things that I want.
Well, and you know, we're always evolving. So we may think we want something now, and that's okay. We may evolve into something else. So I like the fact that you're replacing some of those things. We're not just stuck forever. But you know, I also like the fact that you never once wavered that I know of, that you're capable of getting what it is that you want. You were doing vision boards before I even heard what vision boards were, or at least you were doing the vision
yeah.
books before
my
you
little dream books.
Right. Before I even knew what that was. And, you know, I was just on another radio show today and we were talking about when you don't know what to do, if you're kind of lost, if you're not 100% sure what it is you want to do or what the next action you need to take, right? Because people will go, I've got this big dream. I have no idea what the next step is to take. Well, you know, I tell people to stay in the present moment because that's the only time you can make a decision. That's you quiet your mind and stay, be aware of where you are. And then take action with intention. Take an action. It's a baby step, right?
Baby step.
Baby
right.
step. You can take a walk if you don't know what to do. You know, you can go drink some water if you don't know what to do. You can go read a book. You can go to the library. You can go to Barnes & Noble. Take an action step towards something that you want to do with the intention that you're going to find the next step. You know, Martin Luther King said, I don't have to see the whole staircase. I just have to see the first mm-hmm. step. And, you know, I think when we take action, just taking one step with the intention that we're going to see another step, that the universe is going to provide another step, I think that's when the magic happens because people get overwhelmed. I don't know how to be a real estate agent. I don't know how to be the top one. I don't know if you always did, but you knew that you had to take another step.
Yeah, I still have so many steps to go. I'm okay with that. You know, I'm 57, but they say that the average real estate agent in America, full-time real estate agent mm-hmm. that actually works, not a hobby realtor.
Right. Uh-huh.
You know, the average age is 58. I'm not even average yet. You know what I mean? Even though
you're
in
above
this
average.
Business
yeah.
for 20 years, I mean, as far as age goes, I think It's like the women that play bridge and they're 90 years old. Keep using your mind.
Right.
There's no reason not to. It's, you know, the opposite of, you know, a growing, thriving mind is a stagnant mind.
Right.
And you and I are totally opposite of that. We could never be like that.
Well, you know, the universe is either expanding or contracting. And we are either expanding or contracting. Our dreams are expanding, they're evolving, or we're not doing anything with them and they're contracting. It atrophies. It's like our muscles. It's our brains.
If you don't use it, you lose it.
Right. And so anything you can do to learn something new, and I don't mean on Facebook. I mean, learn something new that's really going to make a difference. Meet someone new. Take a class. Go somewhere new. And I mean new, like a new park or, you know, something new that is unusual to you, because then your brain starts looking at different things differently. Because we can choose, which is what you've always been wonderful at, how we look at everything, our perception
on
the
thing. It's so true. I was just thinking that. We do, you know, you can be a victim and look at, like, everything else is in control of you.
Right.
But, I mean, there are things that are out of your control, but that's okay. But the things that I am in control of, it is my responsibility, because I was given free will. It's my responsibility to make the right decisions and choices and actions to make those things happen. So I guess the biggest thing is, like, I'm not a victim.
You know, Viktor Frankl, who wrote Man's Search for Meaning, he was a psychiatrist in the concentration camps. He said that there's one thing that you cannot take from man, and that's his ability to decide how he's going to react, respond in any circumstance. Mm-hmm. So you may be in a difficult circumstance, but you can choose how to respond to it. And your response to the universe makes all the difference in the world. It's how everybody else responds to you. When he was in the concentration camps, he was a doctor. And he said, I'm going to continue to be a doctor. I'm not going to be a victim. And he literally ministered to the people in the concentration camps. And I love this story. It's kind of like Hanukkah and the oil in the lamps. But he had a, mean people in charge gave him like a pill bottle that probably had aspirin in it, but that's the only medicine he had the entire time. And so he would tell the people he was ministering that were real sick, he would break off a little piece and he'd say, this is extremely strong medicine. I can't give you a lot, but it was the placebo effect. It really helped him. He was a doctor. He was ministering to him. He was going to make him healthy. They picked that up. That's what he decided to do in the concentration camps. And the amazing thing was when he tells the story in his book is that he never ran out of the pills. It's like God kept putting more pills in, that Hebrew God. But it's like the lamps in Hanukkah, like they never ran out of oil. I just love it because he chose to respond differently. He chose to respond as a doctor, not as a victim. He survived. He literally changed people's lives afterwards because of, you know, his therapy and his teachings. So, you know, you're so right. We can't control everything around us, but we can control how we react to those, how we respond to those.
What if in modern medicine, instead of always everything being a reactionary thing where let me give you a prescription for this or whatever, what if we started young people with focusing on their minds and their mental health as much as we did their physical health, and we always gave them good positive reinforcement and feedback, and, you know, we learned to talk to them in such a way that was always respectful and kind. Think about the world of people that we could create, you know, if all of us, you know, had parents that spoke respectful to you and they recognized, like, I think back when I was a child, you know, I heard my mom say lots of times, children are to be seen and not heard, or, you know, like, what the heck does that mean? But I think if we took young impressionable minds and, like Viktor Frankl, if we realized how powerful the mind is and we focused on encouraging and creating and everything like that versus, you know, the world kind of likes to jump in there and tell us what's wrong. Because that was the beginning of psychology. It was focusing on what is wrong with us.
And what happened in our past. It was a Freudian thing. Our mothers did it to us.
But I love, like, Marcus Buckingham. He wrote the Now Discover Your Strengths. And one of my strengths is positivity.
It is.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, years and years ago, I read that book, I took the test online. And if you focus on your strengths in life versus your weaknesses,
right,
you can build those strengths so much bigger and better and larger,
right,
than you can by focusing on the weaknesses.
Absolutely.
But anyway, I love that we are at a place in the earth that we are, as humans, that we're beginning to really, really understand how important just really great mental health is.
Well, and just think, we don't teach kids this. We don't teach them their power. We don't teach them mindfulness. What if we taught them that? If our subconscious mind is pretty much set by the time we're six, because our brains are in alpha and delta brainwaves when we're younger, which are the real suggestible ones. What if we taught these little ones this instead of beating out of them, you know, their imagination and their own self-worth, and that they, you know, they've got to do what we tell them to? That would change everything. Why don't we teach this in schools? This is not hard. It does not have to be religious. It doesn't. It is so powerful when we get the power back to the people, which sounds like a political slogan, but it's a spiritual slogan, right? When you understand the power of your mind and what you can create.
Responsibility, too.
Absolutely. With great power comes great responsibility.
Absolutely.
Spider-Man's uncle said that. But, you know, if you understand you have the power, right, then you're not a victim anymore. And you will accept the responsibility. Okay, what we need to figure out how to do this.
I bet you're doing it with your grandsons.
I hope so. I love my grandsons.
Because they've got great parents. And
yeah,
great,
they've got wonderful, and they're loved, and they know they're loved.
And I bet that they will be an example of what we're talking about.
I think so. I think we have, you know, there's a tipping point. They say there's a 2-3% critical mass, and when it gets to that point, everything kind of tips, and I think we're getting there. The consciousness, the mindfulness, at least for quite a few people, maybe not the masses, but we're going to do a tipping point. We're going to get to that. I love to watch my 4-year-old grandson. He just sits there in his imagination and he plays with things and he moves things around and you see him talking and I'm going, his imagination is amazing.
You're
need
like
to
that
foster
too,
that. Me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have a great imagination.
Well, and I love, because, you know, everything begins with imagination. That's the first thing it begins with. Nothing happens. That chair wasn't here. You know, this mic wasn't here.
And it also can work in a negative way, too.
Oh.
Because there are people that I know, and he can totally focus on, like, if there's one situation, he can tell you 10 things that are going to go wrong. And I'm like, whoa, you know, his mind works with this whole different perception, this whole different filter of what is wrong with this, what could go wrong with this. He's a worry wart.
But everybody uses their imagination 90% of the time for negative things. We're imagining it.
What could go wrong?
We're making it up. Mm-hmm. Why don't we use it to make up good things instead of bad things? When you start your day in the morning and you say, I got to go to work and it's a horrible place to go and people are going to be mean to me, you're using your imagination on that one. Yeah. We might as well use it to our benefit.
And it boils down to, I think, two different personality types, an abundance mentality scarcity mentality. And somehow I was able to create an abundance mentality. And I think I was just born that way. And I can always see the half full.
You always
glass,
have been.
You know?
You know, and I think some of us are born older souls, you know, than others. But everybody can learn this. Once they're exposed to this and understand this, awareness is huge. Yeah. You know, and even if you didn't have it growing up, once you understand this, you start reading books and listening to podcasts and doing the internal work. It's magical. It just happens. It's magical. And you can tip the scale from lack and scarcity to abundance. And once you do, it's like turning on the spigot and abundance just runs through, right? It just,
absolutely.
You're on the,
and no matter what happens in your life, you can always put a positive spin on it. Let's say
you can.
I can.
You do.
Let's say that I have an appointment. It's 15 minutes away and I time it and then I hit every red light.
Uh-huh.
You know the universe has my back. Do you know that if I get stopped at 5 stoplights, it could be exactly for a reason?
Right.
It could be that if I'd made it through that first 2 stoplights, that then I would have had a wreck at the third one. I mean, you just don't know. You just have to really, really have a huge amount of trust
and faith
that
in
everything
the
is going to turn out fine.
And guess what?
It always does.
It does. Well, and it does because, number one, you've used your imagination, it's going to. And number two, quantum physics, the law of attraction says whatever frequency you're broadcasting on, only frequency you can get back on. So when you know it's going to turn out okay, it turns out okay.
You know, another thing I don't do is I don't watch violent TV shows or movies. Because if you...
I quit watching all news. I just want you to be proud of me.
Oh, my gosh.
I know. You'd be proud of me.
That's good. Well, you know, if you watch anything, NCI, whatever, on TV, or anything that you want to watch on TV, Dateline or whatever, at the end of the episode, tell me that you didn't narrow it down to violence against women and children. Every show has a common theme.
Really? I don't
violence
watch it.
Against children and women.
Well, and violence is bad anyway. And why do you choose to put yourself...
I don't want anything to do with
it. Yeah, I don't know why anybody... And scary movies. I don't get it. But why do you put yourself in a situation where you end up feeling worse? You can choose to put yourself in a situation where you end up feeling better. There are hundreds of podcasts. There's YouTube channels. Mm. There's amazing things. I mean, there is not one thing on a screen that you have to watch that's negative. You can choose to watch amazing
The Secret,
things.
That kind of really started a movement in our country.
It did. It did. And it was based on...
All over the world.
Yeah. And, you know, it's extremely simple. There's other things you need to add to it, but it was such an immediate reflection to the world that this is available. It was based on Wallace Wattles, The Science of Getting Rich.
I read that.
Which was a 1908... book, and it came out before quantum physics came out, and it talked about, you know, this force permeates, penetrates, and fills the inner spaces, and it came out before quantum physics says that everything is fills the inner spaces.
And Napoleon Hill
started in that and was published in 1938. So these are old concepts, but they were not well known. I mean, I love this story. So I remember my grandfather was an entrepreneur, you know, and so he started his own car dealership like in the 30s when everybody else was going bankrupt in the Depression. He bought a car dealership and he was extremely successful. And he was, you know, I think I got my entrepreneurship from him, but I remember sitting in his little den on the floor and he had these books around him. It was Dale Carnegie's Think and Grow Rich. It's Dale Carnegie's whatever it was, but Napoleon Hill's Think and Grow Rich. I mean, I was probably just old enough to read, maybe 4, maybe 5, seeing these books.
Oh, wow.
And now when I think back, at the time I just remember reading them, but I think I got that from him. But there was not that many people that knew this. Maybe if you were a businessman and you were using him for that, but I think it's starting to trickle down into at least everyone's awareness. They've at least heard a lot of this stuff. So I think, you know, like I teach this for a living. Sonia sells real estate for a living. That doesn't mean she doesn't live this every second of every day as an example to other people. So even if you don't want to teach law of attraction, you know, full time, whatever you do as a profession, if you live this, if you're authentic to yourself and you're authentic to your dreams, you know, if you live it every day, that's the best example that you can do for anyone.
And you can integrate all the principles into your everyday life, no matter who you are.
Absolutely. And it's like a pebble in a pond.
Yeah.
You know, you have no idea, you know, how far out that goes. I want to leave us with this because we need to probably, I love talking to Sonia and I want to have her back, but I had to change doctors because I was 65 and I had to go to Medicare. And so I go into this new doctor and her nurse comes in and she's taking my information. And she goes, "Now what's your profession?" And I said, "Well, I'm retired." And she said, "Oh, but you have to tell me what you retired from." And I said, "Well, that's kind of a funny thing, but okay, I was a divorce attorney." And she goes, "I know. I saw you in 1998. I was at the back of the courtroom. I was getting a divorce. I wasn't going to go after cussing my children. I didn't have a degree. I had no idea what I was going to do. And I saw you at the front of the courtroom. You had a red suit on and you were kicking ass and taking names. And I said to myself, oh my God, she is so strong. She is so sexy. She is so smart. If she can do it, I can do it." And she says to me, I went home. I told my mom, and for 20 years, I've thought of you. She went back to school. She got her nursing degree. I know. She wasn't my client. And I'm sitting, I had no idea. But when you show up and you're authentic and you're the best you can be in any situation, you have no idea the effect you're going to have people.
You were her role model and you didn't even know it.
No, and you have no idea the ripples that goes out and the people's lives you affect. So everybody needs to understand that. It doesn't matter what your profession is. It doesn't matter if you don't have a profession, if you just have a job, you can do it to the best of your ability. You know, Wallace Waddle says, more than fill your present place. Be better than you possibly can in any given situation, and it runs over into everybody else.
I love that.
Sonia, thank you so much. I love having you. This was fun.
It was so much fun. I mean, I've listened to hundreds and hundreds of podcasts, and I was really nervous about today, but it's like, this is fun.
It is fun, and it's fun to listen. We're glad you came
and had a cup of coffee
with us, because I've never had anybody in the same room when we're kind of looking at each other, but there's a good energy, you know? There was a good energy that worked. So thank you so much, Sonia, and we will be right back. And we are back. And I want to thank Sonia. She gave us so much information and good ideas on how we can live in a day-to-day situation of being true to ourselves. And it doesn't matter what profession we're in. It doesn't matter what we do for a living. As long as we understand that we stay in the now and we become the very best possible people that we can be, that we take action based on an imagination that it's going to be a wonderful day, that amazing things are going to happen, it turns our lives around. It turns other people's lives around. It gives us an entirely different viewpoint and perspective of the world. I want you all to try it. I want you to try what she said in the mornings, which is quiet your mind and plan your day. Take 5 minutes and use your imagination that it's going to be a wonderful day, that you're going to make your sales quota, that you're going to meet the right people, that you're going to be healthy, that you're going to make the right choices, that you're going to find some extra money. Make an intention. Use your imagination. We use our imagination to think of negative things all the time, and we're making it up. We might as well use our imagination to think amazing, positive things. And it's just a decision. It's a thought away. It's a decision that we want to have a wonderful day. It's a decision that we want to take one positive step in the right direction. I want to make sure that you understand that I have a website, lawyerofattraction.com, or you can also use my name, paulakidcasey.com. They both go to the same place. I have a mastermind coming up. We're going to do the science of getting rich. And it's a fun thing. We meet twice a month online. And we talk about not only the book and we do a lesson, but we also do a mastermind on what everybody needs in their lives and what we help each other. And we actually touch into the big mastermind, the big universal mastermind. If you're interested in that, please contact me at paula@paulakidcasey.com or paula@lawyerofattraction.com. Let me know and I will get a hold of you and we can get you enrolled in that. I've also got my amazing program, The Fast Path, Your Path to Freedom, Abundance, Satisfaction, and Time. Email me on that, because that is also something we're starting, a brand new one, and I would love to have you do it. It literally changes your life, the direction of the way you're going and the way you're looking. And I help you reach those huge goals. So I want to thank you for being here today. I also want to acknowledge that Ram Dass has passed over to some amazing new experiences. I wish he could come back and tell us. But he was such a pioneer in this whole area, wrote some amazing books. He donated all of his royalties to the charities that he loved. And he passed away, and I think that we are all so much richer because he was actually here with us for a while. And as Ram Dass always says, we are all just walking each other home, and I am pleased and honored to be able to do that with you today. So until next time, thank you. This is Paula Kidd Casey.
Thank you for joining Paula Kidd Casey on Lawyer of Attraction Radio Show. For more information about Paula programs and her book, please visit www.lawyerofattraction.com. Until next week, may you experience the magic of manifesting genuine abundance.